Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Brother Ronnie Brown. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Brother Ronnie. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 102. Psalm number 102, and we'll look at one verse there, just a few words, but my, what a verse it is. Psalm 102, verse number 17. It says, He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and He will not despise their prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. God, I pray that You'd take this message today, this bit of Your Word, and You would strike at someone's heart. God, I pray that You'd let them know if they're destitute out there, if they're poor, they're needy. I want you to let them know that their prayers do reach the ear of God. God, I pray that You'd help us to understand that You do listen and are willing to do something about our pleas and about our prayers. God, if there be one today that is in the most destitute condition, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that You'd save them today. God, we ask this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Here we find just a small passage of Scripture. Doesn't look like it'd take us all that long, but we don't have a whole lot of time, so let's just delve right into it. You know, I'm not a pastor. I don't pastor a church. I teach a Sunday school class. And in that Sunday school class, I'm all the time telling them, read your Bibles, guys. Read your Bibles. Constantly tell them, read your Bibles. And you're never going to know what God has for your life unless you read the Bible. And so, you know, a lot of times when we come in, we'll have a fellowship time, and we'll talk about what we've read in the Word that week, and you know, maybe just see how the Word has affected us or done something in our heart. And you know, and usually during the week I get up in the morning and I try to have something for them. And so this particular morning when I read this verse, I've been reading in I think it was 2 Samuel or maybe it was 1 Samuel, and I've been making my way through that. And to be honest with you, I wasn't getting a whole lot out of it. You know, my devotional life in the morning is not always glory, hallelujah, and the Shekinah glory of the Lord fills the kitchen where I am. No, a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of in between passages of Scripture, and I'm just being straightforward and honest with you. You know, there's some places in my Bible, like John chapter number 14, where Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. In John 15, where He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. I mean, that page has got tears all over that page where I've cried and wept over that. But there's some places in Amos where I think there's a little bit of drool on my page there. I'm just being honest here. And you know, not always that the Word of God really just, so what I did that particular morning is I started reading some of the Psalms, and I started in 100. And I went to 100, 101 after I'd read 2nd or 1st Samuel. I go into one of the Psalms and I got to Psalm 102, and it was one of those mornings where I was just reading down through here. I'll take my pen and I'll mark a certain place. You know how you read something, oh, I like that verse, and I'll mark that, and you'll read, oh, I like that verse. And so in order for me to get something out of my Bible reading, I try to go back and take my little notebook and take my pen, and I'll pick out a verse that I marked, and I'll write something about it, how it applies to my life. And so as I read through Psalm 102, it was in a time in our Sunday school class where we were going over prayer. And Psalm 102 verse 17 has to do with prayer. And so I said, well, this is good. I'll have something to say on prayer in my Sunday school class for my devotion. And so I read it, and I began to write down in my Bible Psalm 102 verse 17, and I looked at the first phrase. I said, He will regard the prayer of the destitute. And so what I said, now what does that mean? It means He will regard. And the word regard means to, he won't disregard. That's good exegesis for, you know, 5:30 in the morning. He won't disregard my prayer. And the Bible says here that when my prayer goes to God, that He won't disregard it. And then I went to that word destitute. And I remember thinking about destitute. When I think about destitute, I think about poor people and people with needs. And you know, Tracy and I, we go and preach in places like that, or rescue missions, jail, where people have needs. They're destitute. They have nothing to do for. They can't help themselves. They're in a destitute condition. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, what happened that morning. That particular morning, how God used this verse to work in my heart. You know, when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't there, and he appeared to them, and just had them the blessing of touching him and realizing he was risen. And Thomas, you know, I'm sure they said, "Boy, Thomas, you missed it," like a lot of these preacher boys do here. "You're gone somewhere. Boy, you missed it this week, man. I mean, the Spirit of God was there because you were gone." And I'm sure they did Thomas that way. But, you know, next week, you know, the Lord just, I think he appeared in the upper room just for Thomas. He did something just for him. I'm going to tell you something. That morning when I was reading this verse, Psalm 102:17, seemed like God just did something for me. That came unexpected in my little upper room there. And then Jesus appears and says, "Peace, be still." That's exactly what it was like that particular morning. And so I'm going to go down through here, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Now notice, first of all, as I was writing in there, I was talking about disregarding and regarding and what destitute means. And so first of all, let's notice this. God's attention to prayer. Notice what he said. The psalmist said, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute." Notice, first of all, a divine inclination. A divine inclination. The word "regard" here, it's translated 128 times in the Old Testament. And nearly every time, it gives the meaning of someone turning to face someone else, someone coming face to face with someone else. If you'll look on verse 15 and 16, the proper interpretation of this passage is it's talking about the second coming of Christ. Notice in verse 15, "And so the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. And when the Lord shall come and build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." And what he's talking about here is Jesus coming back to set up his earthly kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ when he comes in. And I like what Matthew Henry says. He said, "When great men appear in their glory, they are apt to look with disdain upon the poor that apply to them. Oh, but the great God will not do so." This great king coming up to set up this great kingdom, and yet this poor beggar comes to him, and God turns his head. God turns in his direction. He regards or turns toward to face that need. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, "When great kings are building up their palaces, it's not reasonable to expect them to turn aside and listen to every beggar who pleads with them. Yet when the Lord builds up Zion and appears in his robes of glory, he makes a point to listen to every petition of the poor and needy. He inclines his ear." He turns to face. Oh, listen, when you're in that kitchen, you're in that little prayer closet, and you call on God, he turns his head. The God of all glory comes and faces you. He regards the prayer of the needy. Not only a divine inclination, but notice also a divine affirmation. Notice the first two words. He will regard. He will. It's a divine affirmation. He said, "I will hear that prayer. I will turn and face that destitute person." Your prayers do reach the ear of God. The precious word of God says that he will. God is affirming the fact that when you pray, he hears. Now I know sometimes when it seems like the storms are raging in life, and you call out from that stormy sea, that little boat saying, "Help me, Lord," that cry, you might think, well, it's drowned out by the waves. It's drowned out by the wind. Or you might think when you're in that little prayer closet and you begin to pray, and it seems like that prayer just bounces off of the ceiling and it has a resounding thud back on the floor. You might think to yourself that your prayer has the life of only a passing breath. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that God is affirming the fact that our prayers do escape the walls of that little prayer room. They do ascend beyond the height of the nearby mountains. They do slip the bonds of our little planet. Your faint cry does resound off the titanic planets of our universe. They do leap across the galaxies and past the gates of heaven, down the streets of gold, while your pleadings to God bypass the boisterous praise of all the redeemed of the Lord around the throne and ascend right past the thundering seraphim that cry, "Holy, holy, holy," right into the ear of Almighty God. God hears your prayer. I'm glad I've got an audience with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all the universe. He inclines his ear. God's attention to prayer. He is attentive to our prayers. Not only that, but notice also man's condition. Man, there's a price tag to this regarding. Notice the condition, man's condition. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. The destitute. Here we find that we are met with a condition. First of all, it's an honest condition. It's an honest condition. The word destitute means to be naked. It literally means to be unclothed, to be naked. Figuratively, it means to be poor, without nothing. The condition of nakedness takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What did Adam do when he first sinned? He realized he was naked and began to hid himself. That's what we try to do, don't we? We try to hide and cover up. We want to run for cover. Adam was stripped of all his purity, stripped of any covering of glory that was on his life because of sin. He was destitute. He was naked before God. The picture here that we find is that of a beggar coming to a king. Now, a beggar, no beggar is going to receive any alms if he goes to the back parking lot of the store and he says, "I'm so filthy. I'm so rotten. Listen, how embarrassing are my rags? I think I'll just hide back here and maybe somebody will happen to come by and give me something." No, that beggar comes out in public, comes out and bears all of his rags, all of his condition before the Lord. Surely someone will seek him out. No, he comes out openly to manifest his problem. I think of the prayers of the Pharisee and the publican. You remember that in Luke 18? How that the Pharisee, shrouded in pride and arrogance, he comes to God and prays, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as one. These men are extortioners, unjust adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all my possessions." He came in the mask of religion. He was trying to cover himself with his religiosity, his pharisaicalism. Oh, but the publican, will you remember the prayer of the publican? How that he beat his chest, standing afar off, he would not lift so much as his eyes. But he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That's a beggar coming out in the open, reaching up a naked hand to God and saying, "I'm in need, I'm destitute. God, intervene in my behalf. Reach out with your hand and get involved in my..." Be honest in our prayer. Honesty answered when he came out, and he was the one that went home justified. Jesus said, "Surely this one will go home justified." Honest brokenness before the Lord. I like that old song says, "Nothing between my Lord and my soul and the Savior." Psalm 38:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit." Psalms 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise." He won't despise someone coming out honestly before him, naked but destitute, in need, and bearing it before the Lord. Before the Lord could heal anybody in the New Testament, what they have to do? They had to bear that condition. And the woman at the well had to bear that condition. The blind beggar had to show his condition. The maniac there had to come to him and show him. We need to bear our condition nakedly. A lot of times we have our massive, "Oh, that's okay, Lord. I can handle it. I can deal with it. Just give me a little help here and there." No, we need to come and be honest. Not only honest condition, but a helpless condition. The word destitute appears in the Bible only twice. In Jeremiah, listen to what Jeremiah 17:5-6 says. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in men, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like a heath in the desert." That phrase, heath in the desert, is the same word destitute here. "And then shall not be, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." The same word is used to refer to a low shrub. Some people think it might have meant, this is what they meant by a juniper tree. A juniper tree, a small wilderness bush out in a desert place, all by himself. The wild base, this is a base shrub, a lowly shrub that grew out in the middle of nowhere in a desolate place. When the word is referred to people, it always means people that are forsaken of men, despised people, people stripped of all that is comfortable to them. And so the condition that gets God's attention is one of great need and want. I often look at certain people's lives and I study people. You know, you're in the people business if you're in ministry, and you watch people, and there's certain people. I had a roommate in Atlanta, and he couldn't live a normal life. It was always something in this person's life, and whether he wouldn't go to work, or whether he would come up missing, or whether money would come up. disturbance he'd create down at the... It was always something. And I would come to the conclusion that this person couldn't live a normal life of just getting up in the morning and going to work and coming home, going to bed and doing the same thing over and over. They couldn't live that way. It's always had to be some kind of drama, something going on in their lives. Some people are just that way. But when I come to this scripture and I'm confronted with the idea that, you know, in my spiritual life, not in my physical, not in my life of being a responsible parent, a responsible person, a member of society, but I mean in my spiritual life. Oh, I need to be that kind of person that's always tore up about something. Always tore up. I need to be helpless in a situation. Every little thing, every little spiritual need, there's one thing or another in my life. I need to go to God in prayer. Go to Him with it. Say, I can't handle it. I'm helpless against this. Being honest with You and coming out in the open and saying, Lord, I'm naked. I can't deal with this. I'm powerless to do anything about it. A lot of times in my life I get complacent. We get comfortable. We go through the motions in ministry, go through the motions in worship, go through the motions of our lives. We just, thanks Lord, I got it. I can take it from here, day in and day out, service after service. We're never broken. I'm convinced if brokenness ever breaks into our churches, it'll send revival sure as the world. Oh God, send us brokenness. Send us a helplessness, a destitute condition. Oh, it's like that old song, I need thee every hour. I need thee, always something in this man. Those are the conditions. That's man's condition in these prayer. I like this poem that I read by someone. It said, the barefoot boy renews the cobbler's hope. The dirty face incites the anxious soap. The fevered brow arrests the doctor's eye. The lost sheep's plight incites the shepherd's cry. The darkened night beckons the sun to shine. The prodigal controls the father's mind. The aching tooth attracts the dentist's chair. The injured child compels the mother's care. Even so, the destitute arrests the ear of God. He always sees the tiny orphan's nod. The sick attract him or do the well. He runs to lift the weary who fail. He passes o'er the seeing for the blind. He leaves the foe for the one lost lamb to find. He hears the widow's cry before the wife. He offers sinners everlasting life. He walketh nearest him without a friend and draweth nigh as we approach the end. He loves us. He who loves us when we've tasted bitter fruit regardeth most the prayerful destitute. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Finally, we not only see God's attention to prayer and man's condition in prayer, but finally we see God's reaction to prayer. Now, we talked about a little bit of His reaction and the fact that He turns His head. He regards. But notice also, He will not despise. How does God, when this prayer enters God's ear, how does He react? What does He do? Does He recoil? And does He draw back? And the word despise their prayer means to disesteem. It means to disdain, to apply to scorn, to apply contempt. This passage reminds me of James 1:5. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Upbraideth not. The word upbraid means to hit or to smite. What James here is saying, and also our passage here, is that when we come to God, He doesn't beat you over the head and say, why can't you handle that on your own? Why can't you take care of that little situation on your own? He's not abrasive. He doesn't apply scorn to us when we come to Him. Oh, these naked and forsaken people, when they come to Him, He doesn't despise it. He doesn't beat them up. When this King of all glory is building up Zion, He does not ignore the dirty beggar like me that stretches forth an empty hand. No, no. Oh, no, 10,000 times no. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. He'll not despise their prayer. One author wrote that God is one who counts it His glory to regard the inglorious. And being the Most High, yet looks as low as the lowest and favors them who are most despised. Do you know what you can call that? You know what you call that when God lowers Himself and gives us what we don't deserve? Oh, the amazing grace of God. The amazing, the unmerited, undeserved favor of Almighty God. No wonder they call the throne that He sits on the throne of grace. No wonder we're welcome to come in boldly to the throne of grace. He'll not upbraid us. He won't beat you up for coming into His presence. No, with arms open wide, He welcomes you, my child. Tell me your need. Tell me your concern. My ear is ready. My face is turned. Spurgeon said He will not treat their pleas with content, but He will incline His ear to hear, His heart to consider, and His hand to help. You know, I try to be a good parent. I try to be a good daddy, but I've got a 5-year-old that I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. I think he was born talking. I've never in my life heard a person talk more than my son Evan. I get frustrated with him a lot. You know, a lot of times it's always something. I'll be in the house. I remember the other day, I filled his little cup full of apple juice 5 times in a row. He'd suck it down, bring it back, suck it down, bring it back. Give me some more, Daddy. Give me. It's always something. Daddy, put a DVD in. Daddy, give me a movie. Daddy, will you come and swing me? Daddy, will you take me outside? It's always something constantly with him. I think about the other night, we were coming home from church, and he was just and it's things I can't answer, like at the car next to us. Daddy, where are they going? Daddy, who is that in that car? Daddy, why is that car white? Daddy, why is that car driving that fast? I don't know. I don't know these things. Just constantly question after question, and I'm trying to answer. And then I got frustrated somewhere right around Wildwood, and I said, "Son, Daddy's closing down for the night. I'll be signing off my broadcast and be turning off here lately, here in just a few moments. So say one more thing before, and then I'll be signing off until tomorrow afternoon." And then I'll just pretend like I click off my ears and I'm not listening anymore. And he still goes on, but I'm just not going to reply. You know, when it comes to God, I'm awful glad that he doesn't do that. And the little things that I come to Him about, you know, I come to Him about this. I've fallen again, Lord, and I've been a witness like I ought to. Haven't done what I ought to. He didn't upbraid me. He doesn't. Oh, when I'm asking Him all these questions about what's going on in my life, God, where am I going to end up? How am I going to do this? Where am I going to go? Where are You going to put me in the end? How come I can't see 5 blocks down the road? How come I can't see a mile down the road? He doesn't say, "Ronnie, I'm turning off tonight. I'll be signing off. I won't listen." No, when I'm crying in my pillow at night, His face is still turned in my direction. He still regards my prayer. He didn't beat me up or turn me off or tune me out. No. He still hears God's reaction to prayer. Thank God my Father's not like I am. Oh, in conclusion, I'd like to take you back to that first morning that I read this. I was going through verses of Psalm 117. You remember how that I first said He will regard, and I wrote down He will not disregard my prayer. And I talked about the destitute. I wrote down, I read, and the prayer of the destitute. Right about the time I started to read the word destitute, and I was thinking about those homeless people. I remember beginning to fall asleep. I remember, you know, when you're taking notes in class, you ever fall asleep and how that your writing gets real small. And how that it starts to drift off the page. Right when I got to that word destitute, I remember just kind of falling asleep. And my little, I guess he was about 2 or 3 month old baby right at the time. It was in the other room with my wife. And as I was falling asleep, I was just kind of jarred by him making that little grunt sound. That little, and I know what's going to happen. I know he's about to wake up. And, you know, me and Carrie, we used to joke about, you know, people come and tell us that their baby's not sleeping all night. And we had Allison and Evan. I mean, telling you that. And they were about a week into it. They were sleeping all night, you know. And parents would come and tell, "Well, their baby, he's not sleeping good." And me and Carrie elbow each other. "Oh, yeah, ours are sleeping good. You know, we're paying for it this time. God has sent the judgment on our lives because we've been placing scorn on other people." And Grayson hadn't slept well at all. And he still doesn't sleep well at all. And my wife, especially those first few months, it was constant. And she didn't get much rest. And that particular morning, that baby began to grunt. I know he'd been up about 3 or 4 times that night. I know she wasn't getting any good sleep, and that really makes her pretty sick and in a lot of pain. And so as I began to hear him grunt, I thought, "Oh no, he's going to wake up again. He's going to wake her up. She's going to have to get up again." And I began to feel sorry for my wife. But it wasn't before long that those grunts come into that earth-shattering, blood-curdling, cry of a baby in the middle of the night. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this word destitute in my Bible. And I hear my wife get up out of bed. I hear the mattress kind of creak. And we kept the baby at that time in a little wooden bassinet right there by the bed. And I heard her get up off the bed. And I heard her, as she went over there too, she kind of bumped that bassinet. And I heard it kind of creak, you know, like wood does, you know, kind of creaking. I heard her reach down. And I think next I heard the sweetest sound I think I have ever heard. Now, that reminds you, this woman hadn't slept hardly a wink all night, hadn't slept hardly a wink in days, months. And this baby's just screaming to the top of his lungs. I heard the sweetest sound. I heard my wife kiss that baby. And as I was sitting there looking at that word destitute in my Bible, it seemed like God just smote my heart. And says, the reason, Ronnie, that you don't get many of your prayers answered is because you are not truly destitute. You know, if I were to try that in the middle of the night, start crying and saying I wanted a ham sandwich and a glass of tea, what do you think my wife would have done with it? She'd smack me and say, go on back to sleep. You can get it in the morning. Even if our 5-year-old Evan would have come in the room and said, Mom, I want some sausage. And she'd say, honey, go back to bed. I'll fix it in a few hours. It'll be morning soon. But what is it about that baby? What is it about that baby that causes her to get up and so many times and be so tired and pick that baby up and kiss it? Why didn't she go in there and smack that baby and say, shut up, or going back to sleep? Oh, God smote my heart. It says, Ronnie, the reason that you don't have the kiss of my presence in most of the cases of your life, you're not destitute. The reason my wife would give me a hard time about doing that is because I can do it on my own. But that baby laying in that crib is absolutely destitute. There ain't no way he can take care of it. He is totally dependent upon somebody else. Totally dependent upon somebody answering his cry. God granted that we in our Christian life would get a hold of God, would get in such a situation, such a condition before God that we can't do nothing without his intervention. We can't grow. We can't walk. We can't do anything in our lives without him running to hear our cry, running to answer our cry. That baby is destitute. Are you destitute tonight? Are you destitute? Oh, why don't we get into a destitute condition? Because he said he will regard the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their prayer. And my self-righteousness and my calm and self-confidence and my self-reliance keep me from being far from being destitute, far from being helpless, far from being poor and naked. Oh, I often forget that John 15:5 says, Jesus made it perfectly clear, for without me you can do nothing. The life of the Christian is to be a life of total dependence upon the Lord Jesus, of total dependence upon him, answering the cry of the destitute, answering the cry of the beggar, answering the cry of the helpless, answering the cry of the honest. Oh, he will regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this message. Thank you for what it's done in my heart. I pray that you'd use it in somebody else's. God, help us to get in a destitute condition. Oh, we get so cold and backslid on you and forget all about where you are. God, turn us towards you. Have us to cry out again and say, God, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. God, get us in a destitute condition before you so that we'll have the kiss of your presence on our lives. God, I thank you and praise you for what you'll do. Take the word. Use it for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be sure to tune in next week to hear Brother Tracy bringing the message. God bless you.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Ronnie at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the Internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Ronnie at rbrown@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.